been discussing the halachos of Siddur Kiddushin, so it's about the last of the series. So we speak a little bit about the week of Sheva Brachas. So there are a few issues that come up really at every Sheva Brachas. That's just try to go over some of the Rashi Prakam, some of the things that we should all be aware of as we're making Sheva Brachas, as we invite the Sheva Brachas. So let's try to chazer over some of the basic inyanim of Sheva Brachas. So the Gemara tells us in two places that there seems to be a limitation as to where Sheva Brachas is supposed to take place. The Gemara uses a lashon and Masechus Ksubos of Beis Chasanim, which literally translated to mean the house of the Chasan. Then the Gemara Masechus Sukkah in the second parak uses a phrase, the chuppah, what it's supposed to recite the Sheva Brachas during the whole week of we call Simchas Simei Chasan, is supposed to recite a dafka b'chuppah. So what exactly is the meaning of these phrases, and what is the significance of them b'zman hazeh? So there's a machlekes rishonim, but the Gemara means these two statements, the ikuva, means you can only recite Sheva Brachas in such and such a place, only if it means if it meets the specific criteria of Beis Chasanim or chuppah. So it's machlekes ties in the round. So Tosu seems to assume that yes, that there's an absolute halacha requirement that Sheva Brachas cannot be recited just stam in the veldt, just stam in the middle of nowhere, stam in a restaurant. They have to be recited in what's halachically considered to be Beis Chasanim. What is the reason for this? So the way Tosfos understands the Gemara in Sukkah is that only in the Beis Chasanim is it really considered to be a Mokom Simcha. The Mechayiv of Sheva Brachas is the fact that we're being the Samech, the Chaz and the Kala. So the Simcha Chaz and the Kala only takes place in this place, which we haven't yet identified precisely as location-wise, but it has to be labeled halachically as the Beis Chasanim. The Ran understands this Gemara left Afka. The Ran understands that it's not Mamish Ma'akev that the Sheva Brachas take place Afka in the Chuppah or the Beis Chasanim, whatever that means. It's a preference. That's the nicest way to perform Sheva Brachas. But technically speaking, the Ran understands that Sheva Brachas can take place really in any geographic location. So what exactly does this mean for us, Bizman Hazeh? So if one would take the opinion of Tosfos, so then we would be in a big problem, Bizman Hazeh. We would go into question just about all the Sheva Brachas that we recite. Nobody recites Sheva Brachas on the Beis Chasanim anymore. That's the last place you want to go for Sheva Brachas. The Chasan and Kal don't want you to come there. The time they don't have an apartment. Half the time, even when they have an apartment, it's not ready then. That's how you make Sheva Brachas. You make Sheva Brachas in restaurants and hotels and people's houses and shuls. So we don't have the Beis Chasanim of days gone by. So how do we perform Sheva Brachas? How do we recite Sheva Brachas? So according to the Rana, it's not a question. According to the Rana, it was never Makkah, even Bizman HaGemara wasn't so critical. But according to Tosfos, what gives us the right to recite Sheva Brachas? So many Poskim suggest that even according to Tosfos, perhaps we can defend the practice of reciting Sheva Brachas for a variety of reasons. That it could be that this model that Chazal was describing is the Beis Chasanim with the Makom Chuppah. So it could be that this was describing a situation where the actual Nisuin, where the celebration of Nisuin took place in the Beis HaChasan. It means, you know, in the olden days, so first the Chasan would travel to the Kala's house in the Kaddish Har, they would have the Kiddushin there was in, and then a few months or a year would pass, and then they would, the whole celebration would move to the Chasan's house. So they didn't have catering halls, they didn't have parties and shuls, they had the Chasan that took place in the house. So whose house did it take place? And it took place in the Beis Chasanim. So, yes.
But I thought that was the other way around. The minute it became, because if you didn't, the Sameach in the Chasan's house, you moved over some Yitzhar, so that's why the minute became the Kala thing. So how does that shift?
Oh, that.
In the Chasan's house?
I mean, Bizman HaGemara, it seems like it was definitely in the Chasan's house. I don't know whether that's the reason for the minute changing it out, or maybe somebody came up with that idea. I'm not sure, but clearly somebody who didn't have a lot of daughters came up with that.
True, but isn't that, there's no proof of that?
I don't know. I'm not sure. But in the Zman HaGemara, it sounds that the Simchat took place dafka in the Beis Chasanim Kipshuto. So one could suggest, the Gubim Achorim suggests that, but mad the Ramam Murim, that was the concept of the Beis Chasanim, but that was really the Mokom HaSimcha. That means they got married in this particular house, and that's when they set up camp for the week. That means this was the Mokom HaSimcha and everything, to make them go schlep from one place to another place. So that's not considered to be a Mokom Simcha, so therefore the halacha is you cannot recite Sheva Brachas if you're not in the Beis Chasanim. But Bizman HaZeh, there is no Beis Chasanim. A person gets married in the atrium, so that's the Beis Chasanim for the whole week. It means every week, every night of Sheva Brachas, you got to come back to the atrium. That's not going to be too much of a Simcha for anybody. It'll be a very big Simcha for the caterer, but not for the people involved. So that's not considered to be a Mokom Simcha. So Bizman HaZeh, we don't really have a Beis Chasanim. So we don't have a Beis Chasanim. So what should be conveyed? What should be necessary to determine whether we're making Sheva Brachas? So the post can say, well, Mustama, anytime you have a meal that's designated L'chvot Chasan HaKala, so that's considered to be like the Beis Chasanim. The idea of Beis Chasanim, but it's Halacha Moshe Messina, Dafka Beis Chasanim, is that usually the Beis Chasanim, that was associated with the Mokom Simcha. So Bizman HaZeh, whenever you have a meal that's made from Mokom Simcha, it's made Dafka in honor of the Chasan HaKala, that's considered to be the Halacha equivalent of Beis Chasanim Bizman HaZeh. That's what we generally assume Halacha, combination of either the Ran is right, that there never really was a din of Beis Chasanim Likuv in the first place, or even if Taizu is right, but there's manas that we've watered down the definition of Beis Chassadim. So we assume that any time that the meal is made, then one can in fact recite Sheva Brachas. This is in contrast to sometimes the situation arises where the meal is not even made, L'chvod Chos HaMekala. Sometimes it happens to be the Chos HaMekala just fall into a place where it happens to be a minion. So that's probably not correct, and you probably should not recite Sheva Brachas then. This happens sometimes, the Chos HaMekala is flying. So you're flying, the front carriage is still during Sheva Brachas. So it happens to be, there are 10 other people who are eating their delicious breakfast on the plane. So you have 10 people who are sitting and eating their mezonos rolls, which they're washing on with their cream cheese, or they're sitting and eating their, packs of whatever. So it happens to be there are 10 people sitting together in one or two rows. Oh, let's make Sheva Brachas. There's a Chos HaMekala here. That's ridiculous. That's not a meal that was designated the Chavod Chos HaMekala. That's not a Mokum Simcha. That's not a Beis Chassan of any stretch of the imagination. So therefore, one should not recite Sheva Brachas under those circumstances. But any time the meal was called for the Chos HaMekala, it doesn't really matter whether it's an hotel or restaurant, people's houses. So that would all qualify as a watered-down version of Beis Chassan of this manazah.
What if there was another Simcha that they have our mitzvah and they have to have in mind?
Yes, that's also a question. I mean, the stomach depends on if there's something added, there's an added dimension for the Chos HaMekala maybe, but if they just happen just by, it's the third cousin, they just happen to be here, oh my God, let's make Sheva Brachas, so I'm not sure that that would be appropriate to make Sheva Brachas, you know.
Yeah. That's an answer.
The
one is
still
a chassid. In other words,
okay, so
making the bar mitzvah, and it's like, yeah, the cousin, third cousin.
Good is coming, so then they have to bring.
To be there. They said, listen.
So let's order a special cake and make it a big special
right.
Dance meal. Okay.
As long as they have to order a cake, that's good enough.
I don't know the cake, but it has to be something something special. It has to be a little something special,
it
actually.
I mean, what do you mean by special?
It should be clear that this is also a Sheva Brachas. No, Shabbos and Yom Tov, I usually don't have 50 people in my house Shabbos. I mean, I personally do, but I mean, most people don't have, 50 people come over to the house, so people be inviting 50 people over to the house, so that's called the Sheva Brachas, so that would be okay. There are other... So our meaning is that we only say Sheva Brachas when we wash. Not all the Rishonim agree to that. The Rishonim will get to that, we'll talk a little bit later. The Rishonim said that you don't have to have any food at all for Sheva Brachas, just get together, 10 people will get together, and they say Sheva Brachas to that, we don't do that anymore. Besides the limitation in terms of place of Sheva Brachas, there's also a limitation of time on Sheva Brachas. The Sheva Brachas has to be recited during the Shiva Simei HaMishtah. So how do you calculate the Shiva Simei HaMishtah? So this is a big machlekes haposkim, a very, very common child. A person gets married in the afternoon. So at what point do you say that the Shiva Simei HaMishtah are over? So some folks can say that there are 7 halachic days. So whatever halachic day the person gets married on, because Yom Kikulo, the person gets married on Sunday afternoon. So Sunday is the first day of the Shiva Simei HaMishtah. Then Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Shabbos is the last day of Shiva Simei HaMishtah. So you could say Sheva Brachas until the end of the day on Shabbos. When we say the end of the day on Shabbos, so that means already till Shkia is already a suffix at the end of the day. So one should not say Sheva Brachas afterwards, even though we have halachas by Birchas HaMazon. Let's say if a person benches, he eats the meal on Shabbos, and the meal schleps him to Motzei Shabbos. So then one does recite Ritzei in the Birchas HaMazon. So the Pashas says that wouldn't apply to Sheva Brachas. The Sheva Brachas is the din in the Shiva Simei HaMishtah. And if it's not the Shiva Simei HaMishtah anymore, you can't say Sheva Brachas. So this is a common problem. There are a lot of weddings on Sunday, a lot of Sheva Brachas on Shabbos late in the afternoon, Shal Shiddus time. So one should be careful that one should bench before Shkia under these types of scenarios. Otherwise, the shail of a bracha levatala. There are 7 brachas, or 6 brachas levatala. Brachas not levatala, but the other 6 may be levatala. There is another opinion in the poskim which says, no, that the Sheva brachas are determined the ace le'ace. That means you get 7 full 24-hour cycles from whatever time the wedding was, so you would have a little bit more of a leeway to recite Sheva brachas. So the poskim say, we try not to rely on that. Sometimes you end up, I've had one or two calls over the years where people are planning Sheva Brachas and they didn't look carefully at the calendar and they end up in one of these difficult situations. What are you going to do? So they also have to rely on the Mekilim. Rely on the Mekilim, but it's not the correct thing to do. Most of the poskim may disagree with that. Therefore, one, we strongly recommend that one should plan Sheva Brachas that are within the Shiva Simei HaMishtah, within the days and within the 24-hour, 7 24-hour cycles as well. The poskim say that since there is a machlokas about this, there is one opinion that maintains that Sheva Brachas, the simplest Chos HaMekala, does go me'ez le'ez. So even though we're not going to risk reciting a whole set of Sheva Brachas based on that opinion, but we will be we will pass like that opinion. These would be Tachanun. We know there are more quotes. The post can quote a minhag that a chosin doesn't recite Tachanun. A chosin, not only the chosin himself, but anyone who's together with the chosin, doesn't recite Tachanun, not only the day of the chasin, but the entire Shibisi Mehemishtah. So we're not sure exactly where you draw the line, what's called the end of the Shibisi Mehemishtah. So the post can say that one could be Mekel, and even though it's within the 24-hour slots, even though you wouldn't say Shere Brokha that morning, but again, B'tachanan, something B'tachanan always goes L'kula, but the Shere Shana is a different story, but one has a right to be made on that. I'm not qualified to give a psak here, and I'm not the Maradasa to give a psak here, but that's very, very, very often many people are making on these kinds of Shabbos. I'm not saying in the general rule. Many people make a lot of the shadows. A lot of the shadows are chosun. According to many poskim, so chosun v'yom chosun also, so says tachanun. I mean, only after the chosun doesn't say tachanun. Let's say the chosun is going to be at night. So many poskim say he says chosun in the daytime. Many shuls are making on that. So there are different opinions, different minhagim about the saying of tachanun. Remember, we had the shaylu during our Sheva Brachas as to exactly when the end of the Simchas Shiva Shemei Mishnah were going to be over. So we got married on a Tuesday night. So it was in the winter time, so it depends on how you calculate. So if you calculate by days, so then Wednesday was technically the first day of Sheva Brachas, and then the end of the Sheva Brachas is going to be Tuesday. So the question is whether you get whether the Sheva Brachas technically goes a few hours into Wednesday or not. So what was the big tremendous nafkamina? So the nafkamina was when how much a person has to dress up. So the halacha is that a chassid is done with a melech. So a chassid is supposed to dress like a king also. So I'm not saying what those standards exactly are, but the stomach, whatever standards a person has for Shabbos and Yom Tov is supposed to be, it's Yemei HaSimcha. That's the status of Yom Tov. The Gemara's Meir Masechus Ksuvah speak about the Simchas Chassid has the ability to be Docha Veilus under certain circumstances. So Mamash has the status of Yom Tov. Then Yom Tov is supposed to dress appropriately. So during the week of Sheva Brachas, the chassid and the kallah is supposed to dress in their Shabbos and the Yom Tov clothes as well. So the very end of Sheva Brachas, we had already finished with the Sheva Brachas part. The question is whether we were still in Simchas in Shibbos Yemei HaMishnah. So we went to Disneyland, if I'm not mistaken, on the last day of Sheva Brachas. So even though we weren't having any more Sheva Brachas, but it was still within the Shibbos Yemei HaMishnah, so I wore a tie. So I wore a suit and a tie to Disneyland. Probably the first person in the history of Disneyland ever to wear a suit and tie. So the nafkamina was when can I take my tie off? So I have to wait till after Shekinah take my tie off, can I take my tie off afterwards? So those who ever want to take a look at the pictures of our Sheva Brachas, I'm sure everyone's dying to see them. So at the end of the Sheva Brachas, so after the Sheva Brachas pictures are over, then we have the Disneyland pictures, and then I think the next day we went to SeaWorld. So you'll notice that the Disneyland pictures I'm wearing a suit and tie, and in the SeaWorld pictures I'm dressed like an old person with a white shirt, not with a, like all the other people in SeaWorld. So without the tie and a jacket. So I'm trying to figure out what happened. So the answer is very simple, that the last day was still the week of Sheva Brachas, and after that was no longer Sheva Brachas. Anyway, so that could be serious for me to say in terms of the calculation of the end of Sheva Brachas. We try the Chachira that should be within the week of Shiva Shemiah Mishnah, the holidays.
What happens when someone's married?
So we always have a rule something brachas halacha. We try to avoid making brachas unless we're really convinced that we have to make the brachas. So we would try to be machmer and these shalos to try to only make share brachas at a time when it's appropriate. A common shalah happens even during the week when the last day share brachas is during the week. We want to rush up the share brachas before shkia. So very often I tell people that they call me that they plan the share brachas to 7 o'clock. So shkia is 8 o'clock. So it's not feasible. So I tell them they should watch and eat, and they should eat, have the meal, and then shmamash right before shkia, and then have all the drushes afterwards. So you're not mechuyav to have all the drushes. I'm mechuyav to have all the drushes, but l'chatchila one should really plan the sheva brachas accordingly, that the benching in the sheva brachas takes place before the end of the halachic day. The Gemara tells us in Maseches Ksubos in the first parak that there are two different occasions that we recite Sheva Brachas. We recite Sheva Brachas under the Chuppah, and we mentioned that Kalab Lo Brachas Ulebalik Anita, that's the original din of Sheva Brachas. And then there's a second halacha of Sheva Brachas during the whole week of Shiva Simei HaMishnah. But the Gemara says that this halacha of saying Sheva Brachas during Shiva Simei HaMishnah doesn't always apply. It only applies if you have what's called Panim Chadashos. So if you just sit down and have a meal during the week of Simchas Chasan, so you don't recite Sheva Rachim, if it is in the Beis Chasanim, but if the Panim Chadash is there, that there's somebody new, hasn't been around before, and then and only then, Yeshiva Brachas recited. So what exactly does that mean? What are the parameters of Panim Chadash? So this is a particular area in terms of Yeshiva Brachas that is sometimes very, very difficult to fulfill properly, for a very simple sociological reason. In the olden days, Lav Dach, everybody was invited to weddings, whereas today, so people invite many, many more people to weddings. So it's sometimes hard to find someone who's actually Panim Chadasha, someone who you really feel you want to invite to the Sheher Brachas, you didn't invite to the wedding. It's almost unheard of this man is there. So this runs, causes a lot of issues in terms of determining properly what is and who qualifies for Panim Chadasha.
Why Panim Chadasha? Why do you have
that? Oh, so that's what we're going to explain. That's to understand why there is such halacha, and then to understand what the parameters of this halacha are, how this plays out in Maisa. So where did this idea come from? What kind of strange halacha is this? Either it is Simchas Chasson, or not Simchas Chasson. So what do you need Panim Chadashos? I understand why maybe you need Beis Chasanim, but what do you need Panim Chadashos for? So there appears to be a major machlokes in the Rishonim, just what this is all about, what the guidelines of Panim Chadashos. Why did the Chum institute this seemingly strange halacha Panim Chadashos? So the Rambam seems to have a very longish understanding of Panim Chadashos, the way the Acharonim explains it. The Rambam, understands that the halacha is as follows, that anyone who participates in Simchas Chasson and Kala has a chiyuv to be mevarech the Chasson and Kala. He's supposed to give a bracha. Everyone's supposed to, that was the Tekanos HaChon, everyone's supposed to give a bracha to the Chasson and Kala. So if a person was at the Chasana, so then they participated in the Brachas Chasson and Kala, and somebody was called up, and the chubitz pointing for the third bracha, so he recites the bracha, so he's being mighty everybody, so everyone's fulfilling their obligation of being the bracha of the chasen and kala. If somebody comes and sees the chasen and kala during the week of Sheva brachas, so that during the week of Simchas Chasen and Kala, then they also become a chuyf in Mevarach the Chasen and Kala. They're still considered to be a Chasen and Kala, Pialach, the whole week of Sheva Brachas. So any stranger comes in, technically speaking, is mechuyif to be mevarach the chasen nekala. So how is he going to be mevarach the chasen nekala? So the answer is you have to make a whole meal, you have to make a brachas hamazon, and you have to make a whole shev brachas. Why? To enable that one person who hasn't yet participated in his chiyuv of simchas chasen nekala, of brachas chasen nekala, and to enable him to recite his shev brachas. So technically speaking, those shev brachas really belong to him. The panim chadashos is the mechuyif bedavar to recite shev brachas. But the yotze motzi, I can be motzi him in his chiyuv also. So according to the Rambam, it's a very, very razzle. That the lumdos that's going on at Sheva Brachas. The real chiyuv is not everybody else. I would have to make Sheva Brachas for. I heard the Sheva Brachas at the chasid. I'm not mechuyif in mevarach the chasid kala anymore. I gave my brachas. But the new person who just rolled it off the street, he's mechuyif in his din of brachas chasid kala. And the only way to enable him to fulfill this chiyuv is for him to make a party. And he, in theory, he could recite the Sheva Brachas. And if he doesn't recite the Sheva Brachas, so then somebody else can recite the Sheva Brachas, having in mind to be motzi him. But it's really ultimately his chiyuv in terms of Sheva Brachas. It's not really a chiyuv. According to the Rambam, it's not really a chiyuv in everybody. I was yet chiyuv in, I was at the chasana.
No, isn't it a chiyuv like you gave the scenario of the case in the plane? They're sitting down there. So everybody in the plane wasn't...
No, but anyone who's participating, but only if they're participating in Simchas Chasson and Kala, because I see a chasana in the street, that's not l'chaim in me. If I want to participate in Simchas, I don't have to.
Why not? That's the point.
Right.
Why is there no chiyuv on everybody playing the Simchas Chasson and Kala?
To be mevarach as a kala, I don't think so. I think it's only when you're mishtatif in a simple chos v'kala, I see stam a stranger chos v'kala, I'm not mechuyif to be mevarach them. But if I want to be mishtatif in a simple, then I have to be mevarach them. What's the source? The Rambam learned this pshat.
Where is that Rambam?
Where is the Rambam? The Rambam in two places. The Rambam Ruchus Ishios that he speaks about, Sheva Brachas, and the Rambam Ruchus Brachas. I have to take a look for an exact mocher. The Rambam doesn't spell out all this razzle-dazzle on this. The Acharonim say this, the Das Rambam, based on something that the Rambam seems to say about Sheva Brachas, not Panu Chedoshos. So the Acharonim explain this, some of that's what the Rambam meant. So this particular line, you're not going to find the Rambam. You find that Shulchan Shulchan has this, the Das Rambam, the Stipling Subas has this, the Das Rambam, but the Rambam doesn't spell this whole thing out.
Well, the chiyuv of nothing happening is
deemed tamei
chasam kala, which is different than when they're saying the
barich chasam kala. So that just means that it's a mokum simchos. The mokum simchos don't say tachanun. It's just there's a man simchos. So whenever there's a chasam around, the chasam spreads the joy with him.
Meaning that we're not going to mechayev to say, okay, now you're at the minyan, so we have to have breakfast. No.
So there are other Rishonim who clearly do not have this whole rattle-battle understanding of Panim Chadashos. Taisus for sure doesn't have this understanding. From Taisus and Ksubas, it's clear that the idea of Panim Chadashos is very simple. It's much more down to earth. Panim Chadashos means Tosefta Simcha. It means there's a new joyous occasion. The halacha is whenever you're participating in Simchas Chasson V'Kala, so you have to be mevarach the Chasson V'Kala. So at the wedding, that's a gevaldige Simcha. So when you come the next day after the wedding, it's not just a big Simcha anymore. For the whole week, it's we're already into the Simcha. But if you make an if you create an opportunity where there's more simcha, now it's the greatest of the simcha, the chadish right now, there's something new that wasn't there previously, so that's a new thing, that's a new simcha, that's a new dimension of chosen kalim, there's a new chiyuv of reciting Sheva Brachos. Kuwaita tells us this new chiyuv of reciting Sheva Brachos, not everybody who ever participates in this chiddush of the simcha chosen kalim is now bound to recite the Sheva Brachos. So Machlekes tells you the Rambam, who is the Sheva Brachos being recited for on the days of Panim Chadashos? According to the Rambam, so we're saying the Sheva Brachos to be mighty the Panim Chadashos. According to Tosfos, we're not being mighty anybody. According to Tosfos, the Sheva Brachos are being said on behalf of ourselves. The Panim Chadashos are just like Chetimtzus. They're just the mechanism to create the status of the Simcha Yisera, the Chiddush of Simcha. And the Meila, once you have a added dimension, an added level of Simcha, then we all become Mechuyev in Sheva Brachos.
Do any of the
Panim
have a chiyuv to say one of the
Sheva Brachos? No, neither according to the Rambam. Usually we do that, it's covered, but it's not a chiyuv. So Ma'alef Kamin Ladin, at the end of the day, you need Panim Chadashos. At the end of the day, if you don't have Panim Chadashos, you can't say Sheva Brachos. So who cares what the lumdus of Panim Chadashos is? So the Rishonim already write this. Some very real Nafkaminis. Tosfos writes in Maseches Ksubos in the first parak, what would that look be if you have a situation where it's Tosefes Simcha, there is an added dimension of joy, even without the Panim Chadashos? It means we didn't have any new guests here, it's all the same old people who are here at the Chasana, but there's something which is very, very joy, something which is new, some Zachidish that takes place at the meal, so that could also qualify as Panim Chadashos. Tosfos says, Panim Chadashos need not be a human being, need not be someone who's Chayiv in Sheva Brachos. Panim Chadashos is just a description of a Tosefes Simcha. If you can create a Tosefes Simcha in a way, so that's also good. So what would be an example of a Tosefes Simcha without an added body? So Tosfos writes on Shabbos. When Shabbos comes, so Tosfos goes to Medrash. The Medrash says, Mizmor Shili on Shabbos, that Panim Chadashos Bo Lakan. So it doesn't really mean literally Panim Chadashos. It means that Shabbos is the Shabbos meal is different than the weekday meal. The Yom Tov meal is Panim Chadashos. Those meals are different than a weekday meal. So that in and of itself qualifies as Panim Chadashos. So according to Tosfos, you have the same 20 people who were at the Chasana. They sit down, have a Friday night meal together with the Chasana Kala. They do recite Sheva Brachos. According to the Rambam, they don't. According to the Rambam, they say Sheva Brachos without real Panim Chadashos. According to the Rambam, the idea of Panim Chadashos is to be motzi, the idea of Panim Chadashos is that we should be motzi. The Panim Chadashos Shabbos is not Chayav Mitzvahs, so we're not reciting a bracha to be motzi the Shabbos. According to the Rambam, it's absurd to speak about Shabbos and Yom Tov as Panim Chadashos. But according to Tosfos, we can understand that Shabbos and Yom Tov would qualify as Panim Chadashos. So the Rambam writes that even if Shabbos and Yom Tov qualify as Panim Chadashos, some of that only means the fancy meals of Shabbos. It means Friday night meal, Shabbos lunch, Shalosh Shudis qualifies as Panim Chadashos in and of itself. So the stomach depends on what the person serves for Shalosh Shudis. So if you shtibel, you know, style Shalosh Shudis, a little bit of a last week's herring and a piece of matzah, so in a chanami, that probably wouldn't qualify as Panim Chadashos. You have a zam, a chum, a dik, a Shalosh Shudis, which is fancier than some people's lunches. So then in a chanami, maybe that would qualify. So the post can discuss that, well, maybe if the chasim gives a drasha, so that adds to the Panim Chadashos, that makes people, some people, maybe if the chasim doesn't give a drasha, maybe that'll be Muslim for people, whatever the case may be. So it's not an absolute rule that Shabbos and Yom Tov count as Panim Chadashos. They count when there's an idea of a Tosefes Simcha. So usually a nice Shabbos, no, a nice Yom Tov meal, most probably would qualify as Panim Chadashos. Remember, somebody asked me this year whether Purim qualifies as Panim Chadashos. I forgot already what the answer was. The stomach should. The Purim suit, if it's on par with the Shabbos suit, the stomach should also qualify.
Is there anything with plurality?
Yes, there are some who say panim, like a lashon rabim. So most people don't assume that way. Most.
And what about a woman?
Oh, we're going to get to the woman in a second. Who could qualify as panim chadashos?
But this is against the Rambam.
Right. This is right. Any of these watered down panim chadashos would be against the Rambam.
Right. Why?
Because according to the Rambam, you have to be motzi somebody in the chiyuv.
Does a woman doesn't have a chiyuv? No, new woman comes in.
Who said, well, I didn't say woman, I said a woman.
Oh.
I wasn't responding. We're getting there, we didn't get to it. We're getting in the future, not in the present. There is another important nafkamina between the Tais and the Rambam, which is probably the most important shah that we have in terms of Panim Chadashos as Banazah, and that is, what if I have Panim Chadashos somewhere I don't really know? Someone who is clearly not adding to the Simcha. So this is a common problem. I'm making Sheva Brachos, and I realize all of a sudden, we're all sitting out the Sheva Brachos, we realize, Gavalt, everyone was at the Chasana. So what do? So we go across the street, we call the neighbor, he has another Chasana, another another Kala, couldn't care less about anybody. And Nebuch, he's doing me a favor, so Bekoshi comes, throws his tie on, and he comes, sits down, and for 5 minutes, so you could be the part of Chadashas. So does that work or does not work? So according to Tais, that's ridiculous. According to Tais, how could that work? According to Tais, that doesn't add to the dimension of Simcha. It has to be someone who's mechumadik, someone who you're really excited about, you're happy about them coming, which of course creates a little bit of a catch-22. If you're so happy about them coming, so where were they last night at the Chasana? So how come they didn't come? So that's a problem according to Tais. There's not a sense. Very, very hard to create the Panim Chadashos. Whereas according to the Rambam, no big deal. According to the Rambam, you get anybody, any Tom, Dick, and Harry, as long as he'll hear the brachas. So he's chayiv Sheva brachas. So he can recite Sheva brachas on his behalf. It's hard to be making on the Shiloh. I think that one should try to be careful, try to be mindful about this, because the minigis were very making on Shabbos. On Shabbos, we recite Sheva brachas without Panim Chadashos. That minigis like Taisus, at least the Ashkenazi minigis, that we assume that the idea of Panim Chadashos is not really to be motzi some of you dei chiyuvam, but it's all it is an idea of the sefer simcha. So that kula that we have in Shabbos and Yom Tov is now going to turn out to be a chumrah in terms of who's going to qualify to be invited as the panim chadashos. If you're really consistent with Tos Tashita, then you have to find somebody who's realistically panim chadashos. You gotta work on. So sometimes you have to find somebody. Sometimes you can be mar b'simcha by inviting somebody, even if the person is not so close to the chosen kalva, the chumitik a person. So sometimes people start inviting rabbanim or shibas. Rosh Hashiva don't want to be bothered. The mother shachar, they know the people that would have been at the wedding, and they're not. They don't know the people, and they don't want to be bothered. So again, it becomes a touchy topic. So I know every time we make Sheva Brachas, so my wife always gets all bent out of shape because they always drive her crazy in terms of Panim Kadosh. We have to find someone who's a proper Panim Kadosh. So she just said to me this week, we just made Sheva Brachas for my brother-in-law. So she said to me, every single time we make Sheva Brachas, the same story, we can't find a Panim Kadosh. It's always a crisis. So Baruch Hashem, that there was someone who was talking very close to the family, who had a family simcha that night, so he wasn't able to come to our wedding. So Baruch Hashem, we made sure that he came for Sheva Brachas. So he even said to me that he was thinking at the end of his family simcha, he was going to pop by the wedding for a few minutes. Mom should say, Malta. I said, do me a favor, don't come. I said, if you come, there's going to be a shiloh, but you're going to ruin your panel of kadashas. You do my wife a favor, it's good for my shalom bias. Don't come to the wedding. Don't do this any time. Just come for Sheva Brachas and kachat. So he tackled with the panel of kadashas. I don't think so. I think Chosin and Kal, I assume that Chosin and Kal are Vahil Bosa Rechot. If one of them's happy, the other one's happy. At least the first after they get married, they're like that. So, well, hopefully. I said the first day, I didn't say the first week. Oh, that's an interesting Shaila. What kind of people would qualify as Sheva Brachas? Are there any limitations on the type of a person? So Russell asked an interesting question. I never thought of the Shaila until this week. Would a non-Jew qualify as Panim Chadashos? So if you have a very close friend, a co-worker or something who didn't come to the wedding, comes to the Sheva Brachas. So the stomach should depend. That if you hold that you have to be motzi them yidei chiyuvim, it's ridiculous. A non-Jew is not chayvin Sheva Brachas. But if you hold that it's just time to create it, to separate simcha, maybe a chayvin. Maybe that would be good enough. So the reason why I thought about it this week is that we had a non-Jew at the Sheva Brachas. It was one of the Kala's co-workers. I was working with my wife also, so we were invited on both sides. So she wanted to see what the celebration is all about. So the only problem was she was at the wedding also. So if she wouldn't have been, I was thinking about this, if she wouldn't have been at the wedding, right, if she wouldn't have been at the wedding and she would have come to the Sheva Brachas, and Taka the Kala was very happy that she came, so that would have been the Shiloh, would have been the Machalik Yisrael, but Ram would have made Sheva Brachas.
But to have a guy, maybe even for the Tosfos, so set it to, I mean, who would have expected to have her show up, and maybe the Kala would be like, wow, that's really cool. No, I'm saying maybe that...
Even though she was there the night before.
Right, even though she was there the night before, but to have someone you really don't expect to come, maybe...
Okay, maybe.
When you say if you were already at the wedding, do you have to be at Sheva Brachos, either under the chuppah?
No, so that's probably with Machlokes Tais and Rambam also. That according to Tosfos, the stomach of the person, in order to be qualified as non-Panim Chadashos, that's to be someone who was Mesameach the Chasam Akala. I mean, someone who danced at the wedding, ate at the meal, someone who was part of the Simchas Chasam Akala. So that would disqualify you as being Panim Chadashos. According to the Rambam, the Pashto, that wouldn't be true. According to the Rambam, as long as you heard Sheva Brachas under the Chuppah, this is a common shayla. A lot of people come to the Chuppah, then have to go to another wedding. So if a person comes to the Chuppah and then leaves and never really participated in the Simchas Chasam Akala, can they still qualify as Panim Chadasha? So according to Tosfos, probably yes, because they haven't yet been Misameach HaSmikala, so they're participating at the Sheva Bracha, there's a Simcha, there's a Tosefa Simcha. According to the Rambam, once they heard the Bracha, then it's all over. So it's that Rambam that the Aruch HaShulchan disciple build on. Because the Rambam seems to say that it all depends on who was at the Sheva Bracha under the Chuppah. That's all that really matters. So it doesn't matter whether you were at the meal or not. If you were at the Sheva Bracha under the Chuppah, then you're Ois Panim Chadasha. So that only makes sense, the Rambam Lashitasa, that it's a function of what you Mevarach HaNa.
So we hold by Tosfos, then there's a lot more people you can include, because a lot of people come just for the chuppah and then they leave.
Right, so that's the question is how much participation in Simchas Chasam Kal would really, really disqualify them. Let's say a person, they came to the chuppah, and then they ate a little bit of the shmork, and then they danced, after the chuppah also a little bit. You know, they danced in the back of the Yichud room. Is that called this a mechas of the Kal? Is that called participating in some? I don't know, I'm not sure. And the Chanavi would open up the possibilities according to Tosfos.
People invite to the chuppah, that's considered a mechas of the Kal. Okay,
maybe, I don't know, it's a tough call, I'm not sure. You have other interesting shalas as to who could possibly qualify as Panim Kadoshos. So the more common shalas that was mentioned before is, can a woman qualify as Panim Kadoshos? So the Chor, this may very well depend on this Machlokes that is the Rambam. Going to Tosfos, why not? Going to Tosfos, if you're happy that the woman's coming, she's adding to the Simcha, so good. So Mata, that would be good enough for Panim Kadoshos. According to the Rambam, that Panim Kadoshos, to be Motzi, the person who's Mechuyiv in Sheva Brachos, is a woman obligated in Sheva Brachos. This Chiyuv, that you have to be Mevarech as a Chasan Vekala. Is this something that's only for men, or is this something that even applies for women? So it's hard to say. The Gemara doesn't talk about it. The only indication that we have is that we know that the Sheva Brachos has to be recited in the context of a minyan. But you have to say Sheva Brachos with 10 people. The Gemara learns that from Sukkim. It's a question whether this is the regular din of Dov Shepa Kedusha, perhaps it's a different halacha than the regular Dov Shepa Kedusha. The Rav explained the reason why you need a minyan for Sheva Brachos is because whenever there's a mitzvah of Gevilas Chasadim, so there's a Chiyav HaYochid and a Chiyav HaTibur. So each Yochid has to be Mesamech HaSmikala, then Klal Yisrael as a whole has to be Mesamech HaSmikala. So the unit of Klal Yisrael, the macrocosm of Klal Yisrael is a minyan. So the minyan is representing all of Klal Yisrael in terms of the simple HaSmikala. So the Rav said the same idea, L'Havdu B'Nicham Avelim, that there's a Chiyav to be Menachem Avelim as a Yochid, and then the Tzibur has to be Menachem Avelim. When we say the Shura, when you have Nicham Avelim in the basic Kvaros, so that Nicham Avelim also is only when you have a minyan. So whenever you have a chesed that's done by the tzibur, that's like the chovas at tzibur. So whatever the lumdus of the chiva of minyan is, then I say you need a minyan.
Isn't it walked out of my shiloh? Isn't it
zman grama? Is it zman grama? It's hard to call it zman grama because you can get married any day. So
you only have 7 days.
Yeah, but I'm not sure. You have this particular chos in 7 days. I'm not sure whether that would really qualify as zman grama. Unless you can get married tomorrow also. So I'm not sure whether we would call that esagol. The Gemara gives a few of them. The Gemara doesn't give every single one. The Gemara gives lists off the deraisas. It doesn't list off a lot of their abundance. So it's unclear would women be obligated in reciting Sheva Bracha. So if you hold that happened to women say Sheva Bracha, it's not part of the minyan for Sheva Bracha. So isn't that a contradiction in terms? So it's not necessarily true. Like the Moshe Bakriya Satorah, there are many poskim say women are obligated to hear laning, even though a woman can't count for a minyan for Kriya Satorah. It doesn't matter. She's still mechuyav as a Kriya Satorah. That's a shaila. So is a woman obligated in Sheva Bracha? If she is, then according to the Rambam, we can entertain the possibility of her being the Panim Chadashas also. If you hold that she's not chayav in Sheva Bracha, then it would be hard to say, according to the Rambam, that she should qualify as Panim Chadashas. So I remember once I got the following phone call from a restaurant, their Rambam Shemuel Sheva Brachas, and they realized that the only Panim Chadashas they had was a woman. So they asked me what to do. So I said, what you should do is just pull over somebody from another table who you don't know and have him sit there for Sheva Brachas also. I said, what's Pshat? The pshat is like this: Meman of Shachar, okay. Bein Lefi Atelsus, Bein Lefi Rambam. According to Atelsus, you're okay because the woman counts as the Panim Chadashos because it's Tosef Simcha. Or I'm Choshish, according to the Rambam, that the woman is not obligated in Sheva Brachos, but according to the Rambam, you don't need somebody to add to the dimension of Simcha. All you need is somebody, a Jewish, who's a male, who's obligated in Sheva Brachos and Choladeus. So pulling the guy from the next table, so the Kosher, he'll sit at the table for 5 minutes, so he'll qualify as the Panim Chadashos, Meman of Shachar. So it's either combination. If you have a woman who you're happy about and a man you couldn't care less about, combined together, they're part of Chadash Lechol
Adayas. Why don't you say, literally,
to
say Seikha? I mean, that sounds...
Seikha? No, we're not
sure.
It's obviously
possible,
like, the Rambam
and even the Rambam, perhaps.
Okay, I don't know. I'm not sure. Lechatchilu, one should rely on these kunsim, or let's say, the Shalik, and you have a cup and count as a part of Chadash. So would that also qualify, Mr. Rambam? It would also depend on what you said around. The bottom line is...
But the cut is a 50-50.
Point
of Rambam, he's definitely no good.
Okay.
But by Isha,
okay.
Somebody's in the
Okay, whatever that is, I don't know. Anyway, the Maisa, Lechitchila, one should plan the Sheva Brachos accordingly. They should have a normal Panam Chadasha, should be Kosher Lechaladeus. Shabbat and Yantav are very makele. We follow place the Shita. There is a question in the poskim just in terms of what is the relationship between Sheva Brachos and Brachos HaMazon. Now, of course, we know we recite the Sheva Brachos at the end of Brachos HaMazon, but is that kind of coincidentally, or is that really part and parcel of the Brachos HaMazon itself? So that's a shaila. The Rambam seems to say that it is. The Rambam seems to describe Sheva Brachos as being the last bracha of Brachos HaMazon. I mean, normally, all year long, you say B'derais, you say the bracha of Hazon and Al Ores B'derais and Yerushalayim. The three brachas B'derais, and then the fourth bracha of Hatova Meid was added by the Rabbanon. And then there's a fifth bracha that was added by the Chachamim. When you have a base chasanim, so then you add on a fifth bracha called fifth, sixth, seventh, eighth, etc. The whole series of Sheva Brachos. But according to the Rambam, it's basically just a continuation of Brachos HaMazon. And according to other Rishonim, the Rosh quotes some opinions that seem to maintain that as long as it's Brachos HaMazon, that why do you recite at the end of Brachos HaMazon? That's when you finish eating. So that's when you recite it together with Brachos HaMazon. It's not an integral part of Brachos HaMazon per se. So my nafkamina, so a few nafkamina, so number one, is it feasible to even think about having Sheva Brachos not in the context of Brachos HaMazon? So the Rosh quotes that there used to be a custom that they would recite Sheva Brachos in the middle of the street, Mamish in the middle of the city, in the middle of town square, they would recite Sheva Brachos, there was no food, there was nothing. The Chosin Kala came, there were Panam Chadashas, people were excited, new people came to town, so they sat down to have Sheva Brachos, even without having any food whatsoever. So the Rambam would say, you can't do that. The Rambam would say, the whole idea of Sheva Brachos, that's the end of the Brachos HaMazon. If you didn't bench, you didn't eat. So what's Shaykh to make Sheva Brachos? That's how we're knowing. There's not there nobody today that Sheva Brachos without food. I would say, make life a lot easier for everybody. Just imagine the Chosin Kala, come 8 o'clock for Sheva Brachos. There's no food, there's no nothing. Just sit down and make Sheva Brachos. So we don't do that anymore. So we're assuming, like the Rambam, that you have to, has to be part of a Brachos HaMazon. The Chorah, this should also be part of the Shaila that Taisus and Sochem quotes about the Kosa Shoyayin for Sheva Brachos. So we know there's a whole Balagan with a cup of wine for Sheva Brachos. That the reason why there's a whole Balagan with one cup, two cups, three cups, what's going on? So that's all because of this problem as well. We have a general rule that Einos Mitzvahs Chavilos Chavilos. So we don't like to combine two different mitzvahs on one cup of wine. There's one or two exceptions to that rule. The Gemara says that Kiddush and Havdalah, when Yom Tov coincides with Motzei Shabbos, so the Gemara says, how can you make the same Kiddush and Havdalah on one cup of wine? Isn't that a problem with Osi Mitzvahs Chavilos Chavilos? You're just packaging, you're doing mitzvahs in bulk. So the Gemara says, no, that's not a problem because it's Chad Mitzvah here. That's all the same thing, Kiddush and Havdalah. It's basically the same, two sides of the same coin. But let's say you would have two different mitzvahs, say the Mashal, a person wants to bench and say Havdalah, so on the same coast or something. So that would be a problem with Chmitzvahs Chavilos Chavilos. So comes Tosa and has a shiloh, what's it in by Sheva Brachos? Is that a problem of also mitzvahs chavilos chavilos? Well, we're going to use one cup of wine for Brachos HaMazon. We're going to turn around and use the same cup of wine for the Sheva Brachos. Is that a problem or not? So Tosa quotes 2 days about that. So what should that depend on? It depends on what the relationship between Sheva Brachos and Brachos HaMazon is. If it's one mitzvah, if Sheva Brachos is the end of Brachos HaMazon, so then what's the big deal? So the same way you use one cup of wine for Hazana Sakol, the same cup of wine for Rachim, and the same cup of Urisha, it's the same mitzvah. So if it's the same mitzvah, that's not called mitzvahs chavilos chavilos. So if the Sheva Brachos is incorporated to become part of Brachos HaMazon, of course you use the same cup of wine. But if there are two different mitzvahs that just coincidentally are performed one after another, then it's not right, and it's not inappropriate to use the same cup of wine. That's what we're chayshish for. That's what our minig is, that we recite the Sheva Brachos over one cup of wine, we recite the Brachos HaMazon over another cup of wine. That's what that practice is that that we fill up one cup of wine for Brachos HaMazon. So the person benches on the cup of wine, then you finish. When the Brachos HaMazon is over, you fill up the same cup of wine, you walk around with that cup of wine, and then when you come back for the bar prayer often at the end, so then the mevarech, the person who led the benching, recites the bar prayer often really on both of the kosos. So he picks up his cup that he benched on, but then before he drinks, so he mixes some of the wine together. That's what we have. It's like the dam on Yom Kippur of the Kohen Gadol, the pound of the soil. You pour a little bit into this, and pour a little bit into that. That's the minig has become, to make sure they get a little bit of both kosos. And then the minig is that the chosin and kala drink from some of the kosos as well.
That's what some said. There are different minhagim
about
that.
There are different minhagim about that, about whether that's
But is there a problem if you mention and that comes right in front of you?
Not a problem.
Do you consider it sick?
let's say we would talk about two things. Would it be a shilomit to make another bar-per-gof?
Right, so after one bar-per-gof, that's the question also, when the bar-per-gof is supposed to be said. You said a bar-per-gof in the beginning, you say it at the end. That's also, if it's, if the Sheher Brachos is part of the Birchas HaMazon, so then you didn't finish Birchas HaMazon yet, so you wait till the end. If you hold the Sheher Brachos as a separate thing, then you should say bar-per-gof when you finish benching first. So I mean, again, we put the bar-per-gof off until the end. The bar-per-gof and path is everything, all knocked down in one.
Yeah, that question with the
Shal
Shudis
with the wrong. Right. Try to answer it
that it's two separate things.
The one.
If you don't know what day it is, you're ending up, the scenario they have, you have Sunday wedding,
yeah. Shal Shudis
is separate
enough,
that it's two, you don't
want to
go late after
Shkia
or any of those
things. Right, so you mean, so you mean what, if you hold this part of Birchas HaMazon, so let it, the same Birchas HaMazon schleps out, right, right, maybe. If you would hold that way, we're not sure what the answer is. We don't know what the status of Sheher Brachos really is. It's unclear whether it's part of Birchas HaMazon or not, so we try to be careful in all ends of this this Shaila. When we divide up the wine, after finishing the wine, so the minig is that they give one cup to the chassan and one cup to the kala. So the reason for that is because very often the woman is in either ready at that point. So you don't want to have any shailas of handing the wine from one to another. That would be a problem. If the wife already drank from the wine, there would be a problem of the husband drinking from her leftover wine, or for the husband to hand the cup of wine to the wife would be a problem. She's in need, so to avoid all embarrassment. So you have two different cups. You give one cup to the chassan, one cup to the kala, and you don't get any involved in any of the hachokas issues. So again, so just as a basic overview in terms of Sheher Brachos, the basic things we have to be aware of in terms of the location of the Sheher Brachos, the potential problem in terms of Beis Chassanim, in terms of the time of the Sheher Brachos, in terms of how you calculate precise the Shifts from Mishnah, this requirement, the condition of Parim Chadashos, what exactly the Lomdos Parim Chadashos, some of the practical Nafkaminas, and then just some in terms of just how it plays out, just in terms of the handling of the cup of wine, in terms of performing the Mitzvah Sheher Brachos properly.